Good morning. Good morning, everyone. As you can see, you need to open your Bible to the 20th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, that's where we're going to be this morning. Find your Bible right now. Be turning or browsing, clicking, tapping your way right over to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It is the longest of any of the Ten Commandments. And it has the most detail and explanation with it. Maybe that is so because it is asking for our most precious possession. Time. Time. Time is what we value the very most. If you have time, you can trade time for money or invest it in a relationship or use it to get stuff. Time is what we need if we're going to work or if we're going to play. And what about time? There's never enough, is there? There's all that time spent at work, and then when we get done at work, there's more work, and then we get home, and we need time to do chores, and time with our kids, and time with our spouse, and time to do this, and time to do that. There's never enough time. We always want more time. And the result of that is that sometimes what is most important seems like it gets plowed under what we need to do really right now. That wasn't a problem in Israel. Every 7 days, everything cycled to a stop. There was a day of rest. If you have any questions about how important that was for Israel, all you need to do is turn over to Numbers, the 15th chapter, where someone did not remember the Sabbath and observe it, and they were executed for that. It was a capital crime. But you don't have to turn to Numbers to know that. Just look again at verse 11. The Sabbath is rooted in the way God does things. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and then rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That's why this morning I'm continuing this series on the Ten Commandments by considering what the Bible tells us about this fourth commandment, what it says about remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. As I'm doing that, maybe the thing to do is to just get the disclaimers and the fine print out of the way right away. Can you find Galatians 3 in your Bible? Let's hear the teaching of Paul about the role of the old law, about the law of Moses. This is in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3, let's read verses 24 and 25. Just set those right up in front of us. Galatians 3, 24. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are, read it with me, no longer under a guardian. There's several things that we need to know right away this morning as we're talking about Sabbath law. We need to know that first and foremost, we are not under the law of Moses. That's Galatians 3:25. We are not under the law of Moses. And that leads very naturally to the understanding then that we are not under the law of the Sabbath. The Sabbath law is part of Moses' law. We do not keep, we do not observe, we do not honor the Sabbath in the way that the people under the Old Covenant were mandated to do so by the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses, we're not under the Sabbath law. And that means, thirdly, that what we're doing today on the first day of the week is not the Christian Sabbath. When we try to make Sunday into the Christian Sabbath, all that does is confuse people as we're using the languages of the Old Testament and we're conflating that into the New Testament, and then there's confusion about whether we're really under the law of Moses and are we still observing the Sabbath and what can you observe, and it's just the biggest mess you ever saw. If you're telling people Sunday's the Christian Sabbath, I need to advise you not to do that. That's not scriptural language. It's not biblical language. And it's just confusing. It's just going to result in somebody saying, hey, what about the rest of Moses' law? Are you doing any of that? What about bacon? Do you eat that? And there's just going to be trouble of every sort. So let's just understand right away where we are in regard to those things, which is going to lead someone to say, well, if we're not under the Ten Commandments, why are you preaching on it? In fact, a good friend of mine, he emailed me that question. When he found out that I was preaching a series on the Ten Commandments, he emailed me and said, what are you going to say? Well, I'm not going to say anything, I guess. These verses are useless. In a minute, deacons will pass through the aisles handing out scissors, and we will all cut the Sabbath law out of our Bible because it means nothing and has no power and no meaning at all. Let's just get it out of our Bibles. Somehow that doesn't feel right, does it? Because there is that passage in 2 Timothy 3 that says something about all Scripture is inspired of God and it is profitable. All of it. Even that stuff under the old law that we are not under today is still profitable for us because those laws teach us about the law giver. Why did God want His people to rest every 7 days? What can we learn from that about ourselves and about how to serve God? That's our challenge this morning. As I turn my Bible back to Exodus chapter 20, I want to know more about the fourth commandment. I want to know more about what it means, verse 8, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let's just see if we can break that down into three parts. That starts in verse 8 with what to do, follows in verses 9 and 10 with how to do it, and then the reason behind that is given to us in verse 11. Let's just work from one part of that at a time. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Notice that this is one of the two commands that begins with a positive instead of a thou shalt not. And remember here means to keep, to observe. In fact, one scholar said it means to hold as a continual priority. And it is significant for us to realize that remember the Sabbath doesn't just mean hold it in your head. Call that to mind. Don't forget, it's Saturday. If you think that's what that means, you try that, gentlemen, for your next anniversary. Don't buy your wife flowers. Don't buy her a gift. Don't get her a card. When she says, hey, you forgot our anniversary, you just say, oh no, I remembered. I called the day to mind. I knew today was our anniversary. I remembered that. What is she going to tell her friends? He did not remember our anniversary. Because remember means to honor, to observe, to keep, to reflect here upon God and His ways. Remembering the Sabbath for Israel meant they kept it with a rest from labor and a time of reflection on the Lord and His law. That's verses 9 and 10. How to do it. 6 days you shall labor, verse 9, and do all your work. But on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. The word Sabbath means to stop. It means to cease. It means to rest. Sometimes people will say the word means seven. That is not right. Now, the Sabbath day was on the seventh day, but the word Sabbath means to stop, to cease. In the Old Testament, that term is clearly used as a day of rest, a day of cessation for religious reasons from the normal daily routine. And I want to say this, there is nothing like this in all of the ancient world. Everything stops, everybody gets a day off, even the animals, even slaves got a day off once a week. That was unheard of. And the reason we do that, verse 11, Moses tells the Israelites, the reason that they're going to do that, verse 11, is that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. Now there are a number of fundamental reasons why Israel was to keep the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses ties it to their deliverance from Egypt. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 3, the Sabbath rest is said to prefigure, to be a type of the rest in heaven. But here Moses talks about the creation account and roots the Sabbath in how God does things. That's in Genesis chapter 2. Can you get that for me? In Genesis chapter 2, at the conclusion of all of creation in chapter 1, we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Genesis 2:2 now. "And on the seventh day God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation." Now, I trust that you understand that God does not get tired or exhausted or be spent in the way that you and I would. So what it means here is not that God was all, "Whew, I'm just wore out for making everything." No, absolutely not. What it means here is that God had completed all the things that He was going to make, so He rested. He stopped making anything else because God had completed all of His work. And as God does that, He sets as a cycle a rhythm of rest and work that is rooted in how He did things from the very beginning. I want to say that again. At the very beginning, a seven-day cycle is how God set the world up. That's how God Himself did things. By the way, if you're looking at that text and thinking, "Wow, I wonder if maybe that says something about those days of creation being literal 24-hour days," then you are on exactly the right track. Because in the Ten Commandments, Moses cites the days of Genesis to talk about taking a day of rest. How would Israel have read and heard that? Well, they would read and hear that just like we read and hear that. To talk about real, literal days. Sometimes people want to come to Genesis and they want these days to be long ages, millions and millions of years. Can you imagine somebody saying, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Oh no, I've been gone for the Pleistocene age. I took a Sabbath rest for 24 million years." No, that's not how that's going to work. What we're reading here in Genesis chapter 2 is the word day being used in its normal way. And so as I turn back into Exodus chapter 20, what I'm reading there is that a normal day is to be taken as a day of rest. God rested on the Sabbath day. We understand that. Israel understood that too. Now then, how does all of that really help us? What are we learning from that? What is this law teaching us about the lawgiver? It seems to me a number of things come to the front here. First and foremost, we need to be reminded to worship God. The Sabbath day was a day of worship. And we need to be reminded about that. And then as well, we need to realize that if we are not commanded by God to rest, lots of times we don't get that rest thing done. Which means, thirdly, when we haven't rested right, then we don't reflect on God. Then we don't worship right. We get busy with the day-to-day business of life, earning a living and taking care of our family and everything else. And the next thing you know, we forget about God. And furthermore, sometimes we forget about the cycle of rest that is necessary for a human body and a human spirit to be refreshed and to be at its best. And maybe worst of all, when we just get caught up in all the busyness of life and we're just wearing ourselves down to a frazzle, we end up not thinking about God. We are worn down and we are worn out, and our relationship with God suffers. We're not thinking about Him. We're not focused on Him. We're not reflecting on Him and His blessings and who He is and who I am in relationship to Him. And our life then becomes thin and very weak. These ideas are all part of the Sabbath command. If you look in Leviticus that command is repeated in Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, notice verse 3. In Leviticus 23 and 3, notice there Moses as he continues to teach on the Word, on the law of God. In Leviticus 23 and 3, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. There was a cessation of regular workaday activity so that there could be a time of worship and rest to focus on God and the spiritual side of life. In short, what was most important was indelibly and permanently etched into the calendar so that it could not be moved or modified or erased or rescheduled. And tell the truth, we look at that in our time of crazy busyness, and there's a little bit of envy there, isn't there? A little bit of, wow, look what those people had to do every week. That would be cool. Man, I wish we could do something like that. Maybe we need to think a little more about that. Maybe we need to think a little bit more about rest and reflection for today. Can I give you some ideas that will challenge us as we think about what this law that we're not under, I want to be clear about that, but as we think about what this law is teaching us today, let's just start by saying we don't want to become legalistic about this. Some of you are old enough to remember a relative, maybe granny or an aunt or an uncle, who was confused about Sabbath law and who tried to make Sunday into the Christian Sabbath. And so there was weird rules about what you could and could not do on the Sabbath on Sunday. So you couldn't watch TV, or you couldn't play cards, or you couldn't mow the grass. Amazing and wonderful rule. And there was just all kinds of weirdness going on, and we weren't sure about all of that. And we won't do that. That's not helpful. That's not going to in any way assist us in really resting and reflecting upon the Lord as we want to. That's just going to lead to all kinds of craziness. In Mark chapter 2, I'll give you an illustration of that. In Mark chapter 2, let's see what the Bible says about that there. In Mark 2, this is Jesus, and once again, Him and the Pharisees are tangling about the Sabbath. Because by the time of the New Testament, the Pharisees had created 39 different categories of work, things that you could not do on the Sabbath. So, for example, ladies, on the Sabbath, you can't look in a mirror because you might see a gray hair. And if you saw a gray hair, I know what you're going to do. You're going to pluck that out. And that would be work. That would be work. Don't be plucking that gray hair. What a bunch of nonsense. So in Mark chapter 2, in verse 27, Jesus says here, after a little kerfuffle about what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath, in verse 27 of Mark chapter 2, Jesus said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Don't hinder it with a bunch of man-made regulations and rules. The Sabbath is for us. It's for our good. It's not to become a heavy burden that no one can lift and that ruins life rather than helping it be better. If that was true when Jesus spoke it to Jews who were under the Mosaical law, how much more is it true today when we're not even under the law of Moses? Please don't make up rules where God is not. That's not going to help anybody. That's not going to help you. But secondly, what we want to focus on here is the core principles. What the Sabbath was about was a time of rest and reflection. That's what we want to take away. God ordained in Israel a day of stopping and a day of worship. That was rooted in the way He did things in Genesis. And that's what we ought to look for. We need to acknowledge that even though such a day is not mandated under the new covenant, that doesn't mean I couldn't benefit from understanding about that and understanding about the rhythms of life. Just because my body isn't under the law of Moses doesn't mean my body never needs a rest. And especially, I need the kind of rest that we're talking about here. I need purposeful rest where I am connecting with the Lord. I want to say that again. Purposeful rest where I'm connecting with the Lord. The Sabbath law did not just mean everybody took long naps on Saturday. There was much more to it being Leviticus 23:3, a holy convocation. There was a stopping from a lot of stuff so there could be a starting with some other stuff. We're going to stop with the work because we want to start with God. Does that make sense? I wonder sometimes if this may be what's behind people who just suddenly crash and burn in the most dramatic and scandalous way. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes there's a Christian and we see them at church, other situations, and they look like the most upstanding Christian in the whole wide world, and it's just amazing and just wonderful, and we just think they really got it going on, and then all of a sudden something really terrible gets out. And we find out that they've been a long-term adulterer and their marriage is wrecked and they leave the Lord, and it's just an enormous disaster. And we're all standing back and we're looking at that and saying, how did that happen? Did it just spring up overnight? Did it? Or is it possible that somebody's spirituality gradually withered away? We couldn't see it because it was inside. But that they were so frantically going and doing all the time, and there was never a time where they rested purposefully to connect with God, and so their spirituality eroded away. Sometimes a giant tree in a community will fall. And everybody's all, whoa, what happened to the big oak? And then when they go and examine it, it was just eat up with disease on the inside. Couldn't see it, but there just wasn't anything at its core. What the Sabbath spoke to was refreshing and rebuilding our core. Stopping everything else so that we can rest our physical bodies and reflect upon spiritual realities, be connected with God. Rest, reflection, they insulate us from that kind of interior spiritual disease that destroys us. But that only works if the rest is purposeful. I need to emphasize that. We're talking about rest where we're going to connect with the Lord. We're not talking about heavy-duty play and heavy-duty projects. Sometimes we get confused about that. Woohoo! A day off! I've got a million things to do on my to-do list. I got to hit it. Going to do it now. Sometimes we get confused about this. Day off! Play time! I am going to go to the park and play some hoops and just wear out my new tennis shoes. Then I got that new mountain bike. I'm going to ride all over everywhere. Then I'm going to binge watch a movie marathon and then stay up till all hours of the night playing video games. Woohoo! Playtime now! That's not very restful, is it? Let's be honest. Sometimes we work and play. We're more tired after a period of play than we were when we were just working all the time. A lot of what we fill our free time with, frantic doing and going and getting some errands done and working on this and finishing this and getting this project done, a lot of that kind of stuff back under the law of Moses would have been called work. And you wouldn't have been allowed to do it under the fourth commandment. What happened then wouldn't permit the kind of craziness that we call rest or leisure. Particularly, I notice that that was a day when families were together. There was a cessation of work so there could be a time of worship and thinking about the Lord as family. And one of the things that I really love about this is that the Lord did not prescribe a bunch of specific activities. Now, on the Sabbath, you're to read 50 chapters of the Torah. On the Sabbath, you're to offer all these offerings. On the Sabbath, make sure you do all these spiritual things, long list of things to do. No. Mm-mm. Israel was allowed great freedom, a lot of latitude for families to be together and to rest and to recreate. You hear that? Recreate. Not recreate. Together. And I'm afraid sometimes we miss the point. And we get so wrapped up in our play and our projects, and at the end of that, we're not rested. And we're not any closer to God. That does not mean that a rest always has to be Bible reading and prayer. But there are things that we can do that will help us see the Lord clearer. And sometimes frantic moreness isn't that. It doesn't help us rest. It doesn't really connect us to God because we're not reflecting on Him. And of course, maybe the way to do that is to unplug some of these devices that we carry around. How long can you go without checking your phone? Could you go a whole day? How about an hour? The average American checks his or her phone every 6.5 minutes. We're so caught up in the fear of missing out. We're so busy playing games. We're so busy seeing what everybody else is doing that we are constantly on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. We are always having to see what's going on out there. And sometimes that means we neglect the relationships right here. That's true. I know that's to be true. Because I have a smartphone with Facebook and Twitter on it. And sometimes that means we can neglect our marriages and we can neglect our children. We can neglect our friendships. We can neglect our God. What if the reason we're not ever rested is because with that amazing electronic device, all the frenzy that's out there can just keep coming right into my heart? Emails and messages and news, and I can't believe I saw that on Facebook. Maybe it's time for us to admit it. All of us could use some time without the buzzing and the chirping and the whining that goes on in the world out there. If we really want to tend to our relationship with God, our relationship with our families, maybe all those screens and connectedness that we have is not always the best thing. Maybe what would really help us is if we said to our electronics, Sabbath. Stop. You want the good news this morning? They make a Sabbath button on your device. It's marked on, off. Maybe we'd rest a little bit better if we knew where that switch was. Which means, if you cannot rest, then you need to ask yourself this morning, why not? Why am I always on the go? Why am I always checking Facebook? Why am I so frantic in my work? Why do I have to do more and more and more? Why can't I be quiet? Why can I not be still? Why can I not be alone with God? It could be that I'm prideful. Maybe I think I'm so important that people just need me all the time and I better be checking my device and I better be going and doing, because if I'm not going and doing, it isn't going to get done and I'm the one that does it all, so I got to do because it's me, 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 me. Maybe it's because I'm afraid. You know, if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. Maybe I'm going to get fired. I lose my job. Can I remind you that to a bunch of farmers, under the law of Moses, taking a day of rest from the harvesting would have been a tremendous act of faith. I don't know much about farming, but I know this. When you're getting the crop in, you need to get it in. A rainstorm at the wrong time could ruin a year's worth of work. What was it like to come to the end of the day Friday and there's still a half a field and you're thinking, No, you're not. We're going to trust God. We're going to stop. Why can't I trust God? Maybe I simply haven't learned how to commune with the Lord, how to worship, how to let God fill my spirit with His Word. Maybe I need to work on that. Remember, this is not just rest without reflection. I want to say again, the fourth commandment is not a command to get a big nap on the Sabbath. The fourth commandment directed people to rest their bodies so they could seek God with their spirit. Am I doing that? Boy, it's amazing, isn't it? What this commandment teaches us. Because it's teaching us about the Lord. And it's teaching us about what's best for us as we try to serve the Lord. I want to conclude this morning with a very powerful challenge. I want to challenge all of us to make time for rest and reflection. I want to challenge all of us to Sabbath in life. No, I cannot and I will not bind Moses' law and the Sabbath restrictions from it. That would be wrong. But we have surely learned this morning the principles here of who we are and how we were made and how we can relate best to our God. If time is our most valuable possession, when will we let God be the Lord of our time? When will we carve some time out and say, it's good to rest. It's good to reflect. Maybe we need some mini resting. I think that's something we get in our assembly, isn't it? Maybe in our daily Bible reading, there's a mini Sabbath. Everything else stops. We hear from God. We pray to Him. But I want to challenge you to do more than make minis. From time to time, we all need real rest. Rest and reflection. What's sad about that is that sometimes we apologize for that. We get away for a weekend with just our spouse, maybe in a quiet and beautiful place. Texas has so many of those. And we're sitting on a beautiful morning, and we're holding a cup of coffee, and we're just being quiet with our wife, and we're amazed at what God has made. And we come back to work on Monday, and we're almost apologizing. Well, you know, we didn't get a lot done this weekend. Stop. We got some great things done this weekend. Sometimes, oh, here's a huge risk. Sometimes that's going to happen in a deer stand, isn't it, gentlemen? In a duck blind. Boy, there's some rest there. There's an opportunity to reflect on God. I'm not sure where you're going to make that happen for you. And I'm sure that wherever we are, it can get ruined. I've been on hunts where I had opportunity to reflect a lot. It was amazing and wonderful. I've also been on hunts that were frantic. We were screaming around, running around, doing all kinds of crazy things, trying to get here and get there. There wasn't any reflecting. It wasn't a very restful hunt. I've been on vacations. They were very restful, very connected to God. Been on other vacations. We were doing theme parks at 3,000 miles an hour. I've been on a roller coaster at 2 in the morning. I'm not making that up. That's not very restful. That's not connected. What I'm saying is, it's going to be an effort. You have to make it happen. No one's going to come to you and say, hey, here's this big time of rest and reflection. Take that off now. Make sure you connect with God. You'll have to be determined to do that. You'll have to look at your calendar. You'll have to pray about this. You'll have to talk to your spouse. But I think when you look at what was mandated so long ago, all of us can see the good in taking time to say, Sabbath. Stop. Cease. We're going to rest. We're going to connect to what matters most, to each other and to our God.